Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today's message is taken from our gospel reading from the fifth chapter of St. Luke, with an emphasis on these words. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." This is our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. What is the image that comes to your mind when you think of the word hero? Maybe you think of one of the modern pantheon of superheroes all over television and movies today. Heroes like Spider-Man or Batman, The Flash, or The Incredible Hulk. Or maybe you think of a more personal hero, your favorite athlete or author or musician. Still others might think of their parents, their mom or their dad, maybe a favorite professor or a coach or a mentor. When we elevate someone to the status of hero, we're automatically putting them on something of a pedestal. Suddenly, that person becomes larger than life, and for us, they become above reproach. Consequently, it becomes harder for us to remember that even our heroes are human. Well, with the exception of those ones that I mentioned that are make-believe. But they are ordinary people, just like us, who distinguish themselves by their example to us. Think now about some of those heroes that we have in our Christian faith. No doubt many of the names that come to mind are likely those men and women whose faithful witness has been recorded for us on the pages of Holy Scripture. Prophets and martyrs, evangelists and saints, whose bold confession paved the way for the church today to bring Christ to the nations. These are nearly mythological figures for us, like Isaiah and Paul and Peter. But here's the thing, friends. If we do start to mythologize those saints of old, we walk the slippery slope of forgetting that the reason that they were such powerful inspirations to us in our life of faith is not because of how great they were in and of themselves. Rather, is wholly because of the God who called them and to whom they pointed. For before he was ever a mighty prophet, you might recall that Isaiah was, as we read in our Old Testament reading, a self-proclaimed man of unclean lips. You might also remember that before he ever brought the good news of Christ crucified to the Gentiles, St. Paul, well, he was Saul, a Pharisee, and a persecutor of the early church. And before he ever preached that first sermon of Christendom to the anxious crowds on Pentecost Sunday, St. Peter was actually Simon Bar-Jonah, a fisherman. You know, Peter is actually one of my favorite examples in all of the Bible about the transformative power of Christ Jesus. Peter was an ordinary and, by his own admission, often very flawed man, just like you and me. Peter was a sinner, he was weak, he doubted, and still, Peter was chosen by Christ. Not because of how great or mighty or awesome he was, but because of the great works that Christ would accomplish in him and through him. Today, we in the church do not remember Peter's life for the tremendous things that he built for himself. Indeed, his office as the first pope, his preaching and his epistles, wonderful as all these things were and are, they were all things that his Lord Jesus gave to him. For it was Jesus who gave Peter the faith to follow. It was Jesus who gave Peter the call to serve. And it was Jesus who gave Peter the strength to proclaim the gospel. Our reading for today from the fifth chapter of Luke relates the calling of Jesus' very first disciples. In this passage, we hear the words of Christ that have become a kind of hallmark for the Epiphany season, so much so that you might notice we even have immortalized them on one of our banners for the Epiphany season. "Come follow me," says Jesus, "and I will make you" what? Fishers of men. You all remember the Sunday school song, right? Good. Well, here Jesus calls Peter to be a fisher of men. As you hear this story again, I want you to take note that it is not Peter who first recognizes or approaches Jesus. Nor, for that matter, is it Peter who asked Jesus for the honor of being an apostle. Finally, it is not Peter who impresses his Lord with a miraculous catch of fish. No, Peter was not the mighty, self-made man that we often idolize and imagine all our heroes to be. But friends, I tell you, this is precisely why Peter is such a valuable example for us in the church. For like Peter, none of us is self-made. We are who we are because of the grace of God and the example of the saints that he has placed in our lives. We are, each of us, not self-made men, but God-made men and women, redeemed and called by Christ to follow him. Now Peter, as we heard in the text, was a fisherman by trade. He was hardworking, he was strong, and yes, you remember, he was strong-willed. And yet, like all fishermen, Peter was totally dependent on forces outside himself for his livelihood. Peter, as a fisherman, would have had to have known the sea. He certainly knew his craft, but on the night before this gospel story takes place, we read that all of his efforts had failed him as the sea stubbornly refused to yield a decent catch of fish. Peter had labored in vain. Discouraged and defeated, he and his partners moored ashore to tend their nets when they were approached by none other than Jesus, who, seeking some distance from the great crowd that was following him, commissioned Peter's own fishing boat as a kind of makeshift pulpit. Asking to be let out a little from the land, Jesus' voice was able to carry over the waves and into the ears of his listeners. And then finally, after Jesus' teaching had concluded, he turned his attention now to his beleaguered host. He asked Peter, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And though Peter was probably doubtful, exhausted, and likely knew by experience that nothing would come of it, still he obeyed. Still he said to Jesus, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." You remember from last week that at the word of Jesus, things always begin to happen. And what happened next defied every expectation of Peter's professional experience. The catch was so great, St. Luke records, that their nets began to break. Calling in another boat to help carry the load, they began to sink under the weight of the fish. It should be noted here from our readings that in the past few Sundays that this was not Peter's first encounter with Jesus. No, prior to this event, he had already witnessed Jesus preach with authority, drive out demons, and heal the sick, even Peter's own mother-in-law, from a fever. But it was this miracle that brought the reality of the Christ into his vocation, this miraculous catch of fish, that was the tipping point, the aha moment, where things began to crystallize in his mind, and in the flash of a moment, Peter understood that he wasn't standing before any ordinary rabbi or even prophet. Overwhelmed, Luke records how Peter fell to his knees before Jesus and said to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." This, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, was a statement of faith. Peter knew that this Jesus was from God. And so he knew in that moment how unworthy he was to receive him. Peter knew that he was nothing special. But Jesus' response is quite telling. He did not depart from Peter as he was asked, but instead he called humble Peter, fisherman and sinner, into his service. Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid," a refrain that he repeats often throughout the scriptures. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." These words, Jesus set Simon Peter on the path to greatness. But this was not greatness as the world defines it. For as an apostle, Peter would frequently stumble and fall short, as we remember throughout the rest of the gospel. Peter would need course correction, and he would need forgiveness. And finally, even after the ascension, even after the miracle of Pentecost, Peter's own ministry would end with his rejection and with his martyrdom. That greatness that we remember him for in the church, in other words, was not Peter's own doing. Christ Jesus called Peter. He encouraged him, and he empowered him by his Spirit to accomplish great things, oftentimes despite himself. Peter was not, in other words, a self-made man, but he was a God-made man. You know, friends, our world often celebrates the idea of individual greatness. The notion that if we just work a little bit harder and pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, that we could be totally self-sufficient. We can make ourselves great. But we know and confess that when we honestly examine ourselves, we see this to be false. I want you to consider just one more contemporary example of a hero. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who many of you know, has often been called a hero and role model by many as a success story in the worlds of politics and acting and professional bodybuilding. But despite all of his myriad accomplishments, in a commencement speech that he gave at the University of Houston in 2017, the governator, as he is so often fondly called, reflected, "Not one of us can make it alone. None of us. Not even the guy talking to you right now. I didn't become the world's greatest bodybuilder on my own. To take that credit would be to discount every single person that has helped get me here today." He continues, "The whole concept of the self-made man or the self-made woman is a myth. The reason that I want you to understand that is because as soon as you understand that you are here today because of a whole lot of help, then you also begin to understand that now is the time to start helping others." These words are true not only for temporal matters, but they are also true for matters of faith. Just as Peter was not himself responsible for his call or for the mighty things that the Lord accomplished through him, so none of us comes to faith on our own. Rather, we are brought to the waters of baptism. We are redeemed by Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us on the cross to win us back from sin and death, and we are sanctified by the inner working of his Holy Spirit. Furthermore, we are daily equipped through the church on earth to serve our neighbor in Christ. I want you to think just one more time of those people, those men and women in your life who have been instruments of God's grace to you. Perhaps your parents who first brought you to the baptismal font, perhaps a good pastor who preached the word of God into your heart, perhaps a friend who encouraged you and who prayed for you when you were struggling in your faith. Just as none of us came to Christ by our own reason or strength, so none of us remains in this Christian faith on our own. Rather, we are upheld by Christ and by the communion of saints, which he has made us a part of. Jesus did not call Peter to remain a fisherman only of fish. No, Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. Jesus called Peter to share the gospel so that others might receive that same life-giving news of salvation that was now being revealed before his very eyes. And friends, I tell you, baptized into Christ, that same calling which was given to Peter is also given to you. Whether you are a called and ordained pastor or whether you are a lay person, none of us is called to keep the word of God to ourselves. Like all the saints who came before us, Christ Jesus has redeemed us. He has forgiven us. And he has equipped us to go and to catch men for him. When we think of the gravity of this task, certainly it can seem daunting. We probably start to feel a little bit unworthy of the call, just like Peter did. Seeing our sin, we might even ask God, "Who am I to ever join my voices to those of great men like Peter and Paul and Isaiah? Who am I to go and to tell others about Jesus? Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinner." But Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, for you are not self-made. You are God-made, and as God-made men and women, redeemed by Christ crucified, we are called to share his love with others. We are who we are because of his mighty work on our behalf. Therefore, the church gives thanks to God that we are never alone in the task that he calls us to. Even as he has created us, even as he has made us his own, so now he pledges daily and richly to care for us. Together with our brothers and sisters in the church, he sends us out to be fishers of men, that others too might know his grace and mercy shown to them by his Son. In his most good and gracious name, amen." May the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in this same Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.